Hello and welcome to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone along with Leslie Gold, and I'm thrilled to have back a guest on the show today. C-Suite Network founder, dynamic author, primetime TV and radio show host, and speaker Jeffrey Haislett is with me on America Weekend. Jeffrey, it is great to have you back.
It is always good to be here and always good to be talking about anything that we can talk about.
Yeah, we can talk about lots of things, but you're one busy guy. You produce events. You've got your TV and radio shows, the C-Suite Network, which I love, founder of that, and now a new book called Think Big and Act Bigger. Great title. Main focus of this book, Jeffrey, is what?
Well, it's basically, you know, for so long I've been listening to people give me excuses about why they can't do things, whether it's in their personal life or in the business, and I said, you know, I'm tired of it. Because the rewards go to those people who are relentless. And so I decided to write a book to talk about quit listening to all these little voices in your head, all these people that you talk to say you can't do things, and you can. And so it's all about how to steamroll past the obstacles, how to overcome, you know, these abstract obstacles that we put in front of us, and to go through them, over them, or around them, but get things done no matter what it is, whether it's in your business or in your personal life. It's about thinking big and acting bigger.
Well, I love this concept, and I also have to point out the follow-up line to the title, The Rewards of Being Relentless, which is very important. You know, Jeffrey, often we're so afraid of being a pest, right? We do things like we email instead of picking up a phone to get an answer because we're just afraid of being misconstrued, seeming obnoxious. Is that not a good strategy?
Well, you don't have to be obnoxious or rude or crude in order to get noticed, but you do need to be relentless because people do things for their own reasons. I mean, I don't know, I'm sure there are many times you've written to people and they've never responded. You kept, yeah, but you wanted to sell to them or you wanted to talk to them, but yet you kept up with it. And sooner or later, you kind of warm down or you got to them at the right moment because they have either sloppy habits or they just ignore you or they're just too busy, whatever. I don't care about those things. I just know if I want to reach somebody, I'm going to do my best to get to them in the way in which I can, whenever and however I can. And usually I find out when I finally reach them, they go, oh, I'm so glad you called. You know, right. It's like, hey, you idiot, I've been trying to call you for 30 times. I don't say that because, you know, because people do things for their own reasons. I'm tired of worrying about what those are. I just know I want to get to that person and they're part of my success. And if that's part of my success, I've got to get to them. And it's not about being rude or a pest. It's about just making sure that you're constantly doing the things you need to do to get where you want to go. I mean, that's it. That's really that simple.
And what if you do get to that individual and the answer is no? Is no forever?
No is just another way of saying, you haven't convinced me yet. That's the way I look at it, at least, you know? And so you're no for right at that time. So that doesn't say, unless they say, never contact me again, doesn't mean you can't come back to them, doesn't mean you can't work on a better pitch, or doesn't mean you can't come back with more features or functionalities for your product or your service, or, you know, grow and learn and then come back to them when you're ready. Like if you, let's say you're going for a job and you're not quite ready for it, and they say no, you know, well, go get the experience you need, because if that's your dream job, like I wanted to be a, you know, Fortune 100 officer, well, that didn't happen right away. It takes time. And you got to put in the work to get to it, to where someone will notice you, and then, hey, look at me, and then they hire you.
Very important principles for people to take in, Jeffrey, I have to say. You have practices in the book and in your life that you insist on and, in fact, do yourself. For example, staying connected, being visible in your workplace, and one that is most unique that I've not heard before is cleaning the bathroom. Can you please explain that?
Well, it's kind of a euphemism for, or a symbol for, a way of saying taking care of the details in your business, but in two ways. One, I cleaned the bathroom. I was in there this morning, early this morning before I did a couple of different media interviews, cleaning the bathroom. One, because one, I like a clean bathroom. Two, I like to let people know that I'm cleaning the bathroom, because if I'm cleaning the bathroom in the office, then nobody can complain about any other job. Quite frankly, this is the most disgusting job there is. And it's my way of being able to say, look, I want to make sure that even at this level, things are where I want them to be. Then I walked around the office and I was telling coworkers, hey, pick this up, clean this up, do that. And nobody can bitch and moan at me when I'm doing that, if I'm cleaning the bathroom.
And I assume people find you doing that at some point.
oh yeah, they always see me doing that. But it also means, look, I want to know the ins and outs of, say, Salesforce. So I run a small business. I bought and sold over 250 businesses in my career, $25 billion in transaction, as you mentioned earlier. I've been a Fortune 100 officer, you know, television, all this other stuff. But in the businesses that I own, I clean the bathrooms, meaning I also get down in the details of how things work, because I want to know that. Because if, like, I use Salesforce as an example, I want to know Salesforce because when my people say you can't do that or we shouldn't do that, I want systems and processes in place that make us much more efficient. And I want to make sure I know how to use them so they can't pull the wool over my eyes, so to speak. But two, I can say to them, you should be using this tool better to do this because this is what it does. Now, you can't be doing every tool. You got to count on people to do it. But if you have some knowledge of the inner workings, you get your hands dirty in the business, you tend to take care of the business a lot better.
Absolutely. And I agree with you that so many times I feel like details are overlooked in any operation, whether it's a restaurant, a hospital, a financial institution. Those details grow to be huge issues at a certain point. Do you agree that details are often overlooked and make such a huge difference?
It's the little things that make the difference, not the big things, quite frankly. You know, it's always... You know, it's using the wrong logo in a presentation, not the actual strategic presentation, that will kill you. So it's always the details, and it's always a little tiny thing that we should pay attention to. And by the way, the more we pay attention to the small details, the bigger details kind of fill in for themselves.
I'm speaking with Jeffrey Hazlett, author of the new book, Think Big and Act Bigger. And Jeffrey, I know that a little while ago you were doing a big social media push looking to get hashtag Think Big to trend. How did that work out?
Well, we had about 4.2 million people tweet that out, so this was a pretty good success. And to date, we sold over 250,000 copies of the book, so it's been going absolutely wonderful. So Think Big, Act Bigger, the rewards of being relentless on the bestseller list. And very high on Amazon, very high at Barnes & Noble, very high in your old bookstore. And, you can even pick it up in the airports. I'm signing a lot of books as I travel through the airports all the time. So, and obviously it's available on, Kindle or a book. So we're selling a lot of books by ebook now these days. I mean, that's just been the trend overall, but it's significant. I mean, it's higher than I've ever seen.
What is the one thing or a couple of things that you really would like people to walk away with after reading the book that will help them in their business and in their personal lives?
There's two that jump off right off the bat. And one of the most important is, I write about personal conditions of satisfaction. What are the things that, I talk about promises in the book, and I call these mutual conditions of satisfaction. Things that you have to do in your business that to lay out, these are the five or six things that all of us have to agree on in the company of where we're going. What I ask you to do is think about them. What are the things that if I hit this number, or I hit this level of work or quality or point in my life, I want to do this and I feel satisfied. So what are those? I mean, for me, I have three of them. It's about building personal wealth. It's about doing things I like to learn from, because I've always wanted to be challenged. And then third is I want to have fun. And those are my three criteria for doing anything in business, period. And if I can't do those three things, I don't want to do it. So what are yours? Find out what those are and make sure you apply everything you do to that. And when you do that, it just makes it so much more simpler. And the second is focus, 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 focus. I can't tell you enough about that. And you got to kill a lot of squirrels. And what I mean by that, there used to be a movie called Up, and it's an animated movie, and it had Doug the Talking Dog. And Doug the Talking Dog is in that movie, and he wears a collar that his owner had given him, and he's able to talk to you via his thoughts. And you can imagine, hey, hi, I'm Doug the Talking Dog. My owner has outfitted a collar for me so you can hear my thoughts. And all of a sudden he goes, squirrel, and he looks away. That's what happens in our business every day. That's what happens in our personal lives. And we get too busy with stuff we shouldn't be involved in or stuff that takes up our time because we're not focused. Mm-hmm. So get focused on the things that are going to mean the most for you.
Great advice, Jeffrey. I so appreciate all of your principles. In the remaining minute that we have, you do a lot of interviews with major people, captains of industry. Is there one person you really want to interview that you haven't yet?
Well, I'm lucky in my life because of the shows I've done with Celebrity Apprentice, my own TV show, Fulbert, my digital TV show, and now my podcast on CBS that I do. I get to interview Steve Forbes and Piers Morgan and Penn Jillette. And I'm able to reach most people. And if I don't, I'll just budge them. I'll be relentless. I'm going to think big and act bigger. I'll be relentless until I get them.
And that circles right back to the book, which is Think Big, Act Bigger. Jeffrey Haislett, who is such a fascinating guy. I do enjoy having you on the show, Jeffrey. And what's next for you after this one?
Well, it's the biggest thing I've got next is coming up is our C-Suite Network Conference. So if you're an executive who oversees staff and other people in your company and you're significant in your volume, then reach out to us at the C-Suite Network.
Fantastic. Jeffrey Haislett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's Valerie Smaldon with Leslie Gold, America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Have you ever wondered what makes your home a home sweet home? Or maybe you're trying to sell your home in a lackluster economy. Here's the what to do science of it.
I'm listening.
If you have one of those homes that's so comfy you never want to leave it, chances are your home is rich in these five areas. First, you have good neighbors. Bad neighbors can turn a home sweet home into a home bad home. Next, it's private. You can hide out when you need to. Third, it's flexible. More than a place to dwell, it's a sanctuary, an office, a love nest. Fourth, you can add personal touches, make it smell good. And finally, it's secure. You feel safe. What's the cheap psychological trick? The perfect home to buy or sell or live in meets more psychological needs than physical ones. Got a question or a comment? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. California resident Mike Plank was returning from Australia when he was stopped by customs officers at the Los Angeles airport. They found two large geckos, two monitor lizards, and 11 smaller lizards strapped with duct tape to Mike's body under his shirt. Well, Mike was arrested, but what was the charge? Also, what's the punishment for strapping 15 live lizards to your body? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Mike was charged with smuggling wildlife into the U.S. The court sentenced him to 1 month in jail for each lizard, so 15 months and a $2,000 fine. That's the final verdict.